You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. You're here with your host, Tim Link, and we've got another great show for you today. So I would like to thank you, first of all, for joining us. My guest today is Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter John Westendick. And he'll be talking to with us today about his recently released book, Dog Inc., The Uncanny Inside Story of Cloning a Man's Best Friend. So it's a fascinating topic, could be controversial, so you never know. So everybody's going to have to listen and find out more about it. You know, the story Dog Inc., the uncanny inside story of cloning man's best friend, it illustrates the lengths that dog owners will go to duplicate their beloved animals. So I'm really fascinated and interested in talking to John more about the book and everything that he does as well. But first, I'd like to talk to you about a study that I found recently. There was a study recently that was published. It was actually January 2011, and it was published in the issue of Journal of American Veterinary and Medical Association. And the study, which took place at Ohio State's Veterinary and Medical Center, it documented sickness behaviors in healthy cats, as well as in cats with feline interstitial cystitis. Mouthful there. But basically, it's a chronic illness that causes reoccurring discomfort or pain in the bladder of your cats. And it also leads to both urgent and frequent urination by the animals. So it's a serious disease. But the study, which was actually given a large grant to find out what causes this and what causes your cat to not want to urinate in their litter box, the study concluded that basically is something I already knew, but the study concluded that the changes in a cat's routine can cause stress. And with stress comes the unwanted sickness behaviors, as they call it. Sickness behaviors in your cats that tend to exhibit such behavior as refusing to eat or not using their litter box. So there was a large grant given for this study to come back basically saying, keep your cat's life stress-free, keep it on a routine, and you're going to have a better chance of your cat not getting this illness and actually using the litter box. Or you can call me, and I'll be able to consult you on it, and we'll find out what's going on there as well. As an animal communicator, I do that often. That's probably the number one call I get is, why is Fluffy no longer using the litter box? And perhaps Fluffy is stressed out a little bit, or you've changed the behavior, or maybe Fluffy has gotten this chronic illness called IC. So, interesting study. You know, in the study, it talks about the pets, and it went into a lot of detail about studying the cats and monitoring them on a daily basis. And, you know, I often tell clients that pets are like people. They love their routines. They don't like to have their routines disrupted. I know I have to have my first cup of coffee in the morning for me to be able to function. And I'm sure cats have to have their first routine in place as well. So if you're going to change the routines of your animals, I always recommend that you talk to the animals and you explain to them how the change is going to impact them and their normal routine. You explain to them that what you would like for them to do to be able to help out with this situation, this change in the routine. And most importantly, you tell them why it's going to be a good thing. Why is it going to be okay, Fluffy, that we're going to change your routine today? So basically tell them, you know, if you're going to be going on vacation, you let them know that, hey, I'm going to be going on vacation. I'll be back in 1 week. What I need you to do is be a great kitty for the pet sitter. Use your litter box only, because this can make me really happy and it's going to cause you a lot less stress. Simple, sounds odd, sounds different, but talking to the animals, believe me, it works. And that is the number one thing I get called on all the time is about the cats. I found out that by simply explaining these things to your cat, and you can do it with your dog and your other pets as well, it will ease their anxiety about the changes in the routine and how they can adjust to it and what you need from them and why it's going to be a good thing for them. And, you know, now if I can only get a major grant to study this and talk about it as well, then we'd all be happy. And I know my bank account would be a little happier too. But it's an interesting study. I think it's something worthwhile. We're going to post it on the blog, which is the Animal Rights blog on Pet Life Radio. So go to PetLifeRadio.com, click on Animal Rights, and go to the blog. That'll talk a little bit about the particular study, as well as we'll provide a link to the full article about it. So kudos to Ohio State University Veterinary School to at least caring about our cats and wanting to find out how we can keep their routines the same and keep their life stress-free. So interesting article, interesting article. So we're going to come up to a break, but we're going to be right back with John Westendick to talk about Dog Inc., the uncanny inside story of cloning a man's best friend. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
There isn't anything we won't do to make sure they're getting the best products and the best care. So when you ask us a question like,
so how do you feel about cat condos?
We can say from experience,
feels like home for her.
Enter the code LUCKY10, LUCKY, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at petco.com.
There's a movement afoot, ShoeBuy.com. Join the millions of people who shop ShoeBuy.com's over 400 brands and 500,000 products. Order now and get free shipping and free return shipping. ShoeBuy.com, the world's greatest shoe store.
Walk your dog in style and comfort. Enter the code LUCKY, L-U-C-K-Y, at checkout and get a 10% discount plus free shipping at ShoeBuy.com.
Would you like your business to reach out and invite in our audience?
We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds.
InfoSeeds are short 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service.
We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit PetLifeRadio.com. Click on sponsorship information.
There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed or email us at
PetLifeRadio.com.
Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
This year, Americans are expected to spend a jaw-dropping $36 billion on their pets. From lighted leashes to high-end spa products, the discriminating pet owner can find just about anything to pamper his or her pet. Hi, this is Michelle Fern. Join me every week for Best Bets for Pets, where we'll talk about the latest pet products and talk to the companies that make them. Best Bets for Pets. Every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
All right, welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Thanks for joining me today. And on our show, we've got John Westendick coming on, and he's recently released his first book, Dog Inc., the uncanny inside story of cloning a man's best friend. So, John, welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. It's a fascinating book. I mean, obviously, you had a great, you have a great long history, Pulitzer Prize winning investigative reporter. And now we're talking about a wonderful book, a very intriguing book called Dog Inc., the uncanny inside story of cloning a man's best friend. So tell us a little bit about the book and how it came about.
Sure. But we have to go back to the routine, to pets and their routine later, because I need some insights on that.
Okay, we can do that.
I got started on the book back when I was still a reporter with the Baltimore Sun, and I was doing their pet blog called Mutts at the time. It was mostly about dogs. And I did a short little blog item on someone had reported that there was an anonymous woman who was getting her dog cloned. There weren't too many more details than that, which I found kind of intriguing. I did a little item on it, and the next day I came to work, and I had like 15 to 20 voicemails from the anonymous woman who wasn't anonymous anymore after that. So that's the part of it that really intrigued me most, is that it sort of struck me as the first time that we as a society in our history were cloning for love, as opposed to, you know, scientific experiment or agriculture.
Right.
And that seemed to come, you know, kind of close, especially with dogs, who probably no animal closer to us, as you know, perhaps leading the way to, you know, something even scarier.
Exactly. You know, and it's fascinating because, like you said, I think everybody heard of cloning of livestock, and we heard about, you know, the sheep that was cloned, et cetera. But, and obviously, we've sort of been, you know, at least in my mind, it's kind of it's very fascinating. But I didn't know it was actually happening. I didn't know it was actually today present. They're actually doing that, and people are paying top dollar in hopes to hold on to their beloved pet in some fashion.
Yeah, and it was actually the whole impetus behind it was pretty much to turn it into a profit-making business. And so that the effort to clone a dog, I mean, everybody remembers Dolly the sheep pretty well, mm-hmm. but the effort to clone a dog started not too long after that was announced, and the first research was underway at Texas A&M University, where it was funded by a private citizen who wanted his dog cloned. And they tried for several years and couldn't quite pull it off because dogs proved to be a lot more difficult to clone than any other animal. They eventually, the company that was funding the effort, actually, though, even before a dog was cloned, they were selling the idea of banking your dog's cells for when the day came. So they were sort of doing business on the promise that cloning was just around the corner and you should bank your dog cells now. And a lot of people did that.
Well, it's fascinating, but it's also mind-boggling because I love my pets. You know, we've got dogs, and of course, we've got turtles and rabbits and everything in our birds, you name it, is in our household. We have cats. But it never occurred to me to do that. You know, I think I love my pet as well as anybody. I'm sure you love your dog as well as better than anybody. It's your best friend. But cloning, I mean, is that something that you thought of after had been anticipating since you wrote the book? Is this encountered in your mind?
I can understand the temptation to do it. I mean, I think my dog is like extra special, as everybody does with their own dogs. And he's about 6 years old now. And so, you know, every once in a while I think about, you know, and he's a very large dog, so he won't live a whole long time. So I understand, you know, both the sense of loss that people go through, having been, you know, through a few other dogs. So I can relate to that, but I would never clone my dog. Well, in the first place, it costs $100,000, so that rules me out. But you know, even if I could, I wouldn't, because I think it wouldn't be fair to his memory, and it probably wouldn't be fair to the clone who I'd have, you know, all these high expectations of. You know, weren't you more like Ace? Why can't you do this like Ace did? And I just don't think it'd be fair to anybody, including me.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a very good point, because from what I understand about the cloning process, you may get an animal that looks a lot like the original animal, like Ace in this case, but the personalities of the two animals are still very unique. And so when people find this out, what's their overall take? How the response has been? Have they been still just as thrilled because it sort of still looks like the dog that had made its transition, or are they very disappointed because the personality is still much different?
It's been a mixture, even like within the same person, it's been a mixture. By that I mean the first customer who I talked to, you know, throughout the process while she was still waiting for it, and when she went to pick up her dogs and after she got them back, she kind of went back and forth, you know, when they were pups, on how much they physically resembled the original and in terms of behavior as well. I mean, the company, there's only one that's doing it now in Korea, they pretty much guarantee that they'll give you a dog that is physically identical. But you're right, as far as the personality and the behavior and the temperament are all things that I think anybody who has a dog knows that a lot of that comes from the time that the two of you spend together and how you spend it and how you raise them. And I think that's something that sort of evolves over time and doesn't have a whole lot to do with genes.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, to me, that's having an animal that looks like an animal that I've had in the past. Obviously, we're humans, so we're attracted by things that attract our eye to begin with. But when it boils down to it, it's really the personality, the essence of that particular animal that you really, in my opinion, you hold dear to your heart. And you want them to be identical. You want them to act and play and get in trouble like your dog used to do.
And the customers, I mean, there are some customers who think it's going to be somehow the same dog, that somehow the soul of their dog that died is going to reenter the clone and they will have the same dog again. And I don't know if they're fooling themselves or wishful thinking or denial or what. But then again, there's others that know it's not the same dog, and it's just as close as they can come to getting the same dog. So it varies from customer to customer.
Interesting. How many people are doing this? Do you have they provide any numbers?
I don't have a definite number. I know, well, how it got going was that there were two companies at first. One that originally called itself Genetic Savings and Clone, and that was the one that...
I'm sorry, that's just bad.
They were the ones that were hooked up with Texas A&M and had hoped to, like, you know, get cloning accomplished here and to clone pets here for people. That didn't happen. That company went out of business and then reopened as BioArts and hooked up with one of the lead scientists in South Korea at Seoul National University that managed to clone the first dog, who was Snuppy. It was an Afghan hound who's still around and I got to meet. So the American company, there was an American company and then a Korean company that was working alongside Seoul National University, and they were both offering to clone dogs, the American company with one of the Korean scientists. The American company initially held an online auction to clone dogs and took the highest bidders and sent the dog cells to Korea and had them cloned. So they did like six clonings. The Korean company, which is still in business and still cloning dogs, has done probably about a dozen, and they say that they may clone as many as like 500 dogs in the next year, and they're building a new facility, laboratory in which to do that. So, you know, there's probably maybe worldwide 20 or so people that have had this done so far.
Wow, fascinating.
As pets, a lot more have been cloned in connection with for research purposes.
For research, exactly. Very fascinating topic. Well, listen, we're going to take a break here shortly, and then we'll come back and we're going to talk more with John Westendick about his book, Dog Inc., as well as his blogs. I want to talk about ACE and the things that you're up to there as well. So everybody hang tight. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PetMeds. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PetMeds, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/Lucky, L-U-C-K-Y, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
FTD's network of over 40,000 florists around the world have been creating beautiful handcrafted arrangements for 100 years. Each arrangement is delivered the same day and backed by FTD's 7-day satisfaction guarantee. For a century, people have trusted their most important occasions to the flower experts at FTD.
Since Pet Life Radio is all about puppy dogs and flowers, our listeners, that's you, can get a 20% discount on your order. Just go to fleurop.com and use the code LUCKIES20 at checkout. FLEUROP.com. Code word LUCKYS and the number 20.
How would you like your business to reach out and invite in our audience? We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds. InfoSeeds are short, 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service. Is the best, most cost-effective way to invite us in. We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit the website.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Click on sponsorship information. There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed. Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
Aquariums and pond keeping are among the most popular of all hobbies in the United States and throughout the world. In fact, fish are probably the most numerous pet in people's homes and in their businesses. In Aquarium Mania, we'll learn more about the secret and not-so-secret life of fish and other inhabitants, the basics of good aquarium keeping, the complexities of the aquarium industry, and the science and art that surround this fascinating hobby. I'm your host, Roy Anong, and I'd like to thank you for joining us. Aquarium Mania.
Every week, on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. And this is Tim Link, your host. And I'm here with John Weston Dick, who is the author of Dog Inc., the uncanny inside story of cloning of man's best friend. Now, John, I was reading a little bit about your history with animal communicators. And as you may or may not know, I'm an animal communicator when I'm not doing this wonderful radio show, as well as wearing hats as author, writer, speaker, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But after reviewing your book, the thought occurred to me that I know that you had spoken to an animal communicator about I believe, Ace or one of your other pets. But did you I thought it would be interesting to communicate with one of the clone animals to get their viewpoint on their origination. Had you ever considered has anyone ever considered having an animal communicator talk to one of the clone pets to get their viewpoint on life?
Not that I know of, but I think that's an awesome idea. Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah, I think it would be a real interesting topic because I get called, you know, a lot of times and do consultations, and especially when we're talking to individuals who have rescued their animals from a shelter or a no-kill rescue, which I applaud. They always want to know, what was the history? You know, I heard Spot went through all this tragedy in his life in the past, and so I've had some interesting conversations with them, but I was wondering, cloned dog, what would they have to say?
Yeah, that would be fascinating, and that's sort of how I've taken Ace to an animal communicator twice, two different ones. And the first time was back when I was a reporter. I did a series after I adopted him from the shelter here in Baltimore, trying to figure out his roots and what his history was and what breeds he was. And so I did like the DNA test you can do now, and that determined – I did it three times actually. Basically determined he was Rottweiler, Akita, Chow, and Pitbull. But then I like – went back to the neighborhood where he had been found and tried to find people that, you know, recognized him. And the sort of the last ditch thing I did was go to an animal communicator that I had met earlier and just asked her, you know, to get Ace to tell her his history. So that was one part of this series I did about him.
Ah, fantastic. And so Ace has all the good stuff inside of him. He's got all the best of everything.
You know, if reputations were correct, which they're not, you'd think he'd be totally vicious, but he's sweet as he can be. He's a therapy dog. He works with kids a lot. He's pretty amazing.
There you go. You know, it dispels the rumors. We talk a lot about pit bulls, obviously, the negative attention they're getting right now, but they're one of the sweetest, loving family dogs you could possibly have.
Yeah, that's for sure. And then the second time I went was recently, and this relates to the how much pets love their routine, because after I finished Dog Inc., I was still basically unemployed, so just doing the websites that I do. So I decided I could be unemployed and see the country at the same time. So Ace and I put everything in storage, and we took off on a journey in our car, trying to, you know, be really cheap and not spend much money. And been at it like 8 months now. We're still not settled. Not sure where we're going next. But after, you know, All along the way, I wondered, you know, is Ace enjoying this? He seems to be, you know, he seems always happy and, you know, or asleep. but I, you know, it kept bugging me, you know, am I putting him through too much by doing all this traveling?
Right.
We'd go, you know, we'd stay a place a night or two and then move on. And so I eventually ended up in Arizona and spent like a month there living in a little trailer with Ace, and took ran to another animal communicator and took Ace to her, asking her, you know, does Ace like this? Because I know dogs do love their routines, but I didn't know whether the traveling sort of had become the new routine, if he was enjoying it or if he really wanted the old routine back, you know, of going to the park a couple times a day and seeing all the same dogs. And so she, I got a, her answer was kind of what I wanted to hear. I don't know if she meant it to be what I wanted to hear, but she said that Ace kind of saw the traveling, and we go to a lot of shelters and sanctuaries and things like that, and meet people. He sort of saw that as his mission and job and really enjoyed it. And he liked the traveling. And yet, at the same time, he did also look forward to the day when we were settled in one place. So,
yeah, well, you know, I think that Ace definitely understands what your goals are, why you're doing this. I'm sure you've talked to him about it. I'm sure you've projected it out. Yeah, and every time you pull out a map to go to the next place, you're projecting that visualization, and he's picking up on that visualization as well. So once again, you know, I think it's a matter of he understands. I think he does want to help you do your work, and more importantly, you're keeping him abreast of what's going on. And that's the important thing. You know, there's a big difference when you change their routine. If you let them know ahead of time what to expect and what you need from them, and why is it going to be a good thing to do that, then you're going to have a lot less stress. But if you don't do any explanation at all, and you just throw Ace in the back of the car and you're on your way, then you're going to probably have a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah. And I should explain to him what's going on now, except I haven't figured that out myself.
Well, tell us a little bit about this escapade, because I know you have a blog about it. Your travels with Ace is what the blog is. So tell us how the journey got started. Why did you decide to do this, and how's it going so far?
Well, I was doing, when I left the newspaper and was working on the book, I also started up my own sort of dog news website called Oh My Dog, OHMIDOG.com. And which is a mix, you know, news of dogs from around the world, and also, you know, personal stories and, you know, stories that I report around here in Baltimore. And so I was doing that, but otherwise I was also looking for a job, getting a lot of rejections, and it was probably getting to me, being unemployed and rejected, and I felt a bit in a rut. So that's sort of what led to it. So we initially took off the idea that we'd travel for like 3 months, and we took like a southern route west, and sometimes we'd set things up, you know, go to a rescue or a shelter or sanctuary. Other times we just, you know, sort of have impromptu adventures, and it was really neat. We met really a lot of great people, and a lot of people that like were hospitable and put us up. And we one of the highlights was when we were in Dallas, Ace got to ride in the car with one of Michael Vick's former dogs, who had been adopted by a person there. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we did like this, went all the way out west up to Utah, volunteered for a couple of days at Best Friends, and then came back to Baltimore. And after that, decided that because the whole idea was also kind of inspired by John Steinbeck and Travels with Charlie, decided that we'd cover the route he covered as well. So we went up and left the same day he did, 50 years later, from his cottage on Long Island, and took the northerly route west, again doing the same thing, stopping and looking for interesting dog-related stories, and then came back down through California, back east again. And now I'm not sure. It's been like eight to nine months in all. And part of me, and I think a pretty big part of Ace, wants to be situated for a while at least in one place. But he's back now in Baltimore, and even though I'm not in the same house I used to be in, we're close to his favorite park. So he's thrilled that we still go there every day.
Absolutely. So now you can take all those notes from the journal that you obviously kept in your online journal and create the book, right? Travels with Ace.
That's my hope. I haven't officially proposed it yet, but that's my next task is to try and do that and make it more. I mean, I love that book and it's a classic, but I wanted to do something that's more dog specific than that was, where the dog's more than just like a gimmick.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, personally, I think it's a great route to go, because people may know the book if they're writers themselves or fans of his work. But like you said, it's 50 years ago. So you got a whole new audience, a whole new bunch of pet lovers out there, dog lovers, and they want to hear things from the dog's point of view. So, hey, I look forward to having you on in about a year or so to talk about that book.
It's okay. We'll take you up on that.
Set
or
that
you
in
back there and say, hey, whatever happened to that idea for a book you had?
And track you down somewhere on the road as you're traveling still with Ace. That sounds great. So tell us a little bit about, give everybody the websites once again so they can go out and check the blogs out, and they can, of course, know a little bit more about the book as well as your other blogs you have.
Well, my website is Oh My Dog. It's OHMIDOG travelswithanimalrights.com. And then the one I started up when our travels began, as you said, is travelswithace.com. And then the website for my book is doginkthebook.com.
So everybody check out those blogs, and we'll have those available too, and we'll have those posted so everybody can check that out as well. So it's fascinating work. And of course, the book is obviously fascinating, a very interesting and somewhat controversial topic for some people. The book is Dog Inc., The Uncanny Inside Story of Cloning a Man's Best Friend. So we've been talking to John Westendick. John, thanks for coming on to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio, and we look forward to keeping up with your travels, and give Ace a big hug for us.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And if I'm confused about Ace, I'm going to give you a call and get you to tell me what's going on in that furry head of his.
Hey, we will. We'll let you know, and I'm sure he has plenty to say, so we'll look forward to that.
Yeah, he's pretty wordy, I think.
Fantastic. All right. Well, so we've been talking to John Westendick, and the book once again is Dog Inc., The Uncanny Inside Story of Cloning a Man's Best Friend. John, thanks for coming on to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Thank you. It was fun.
All right. So we're coming up to the end of our show today. So I'd like to thank everybody for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Also like to thank once again John Westendick for coming on board and talking to us about all the wonderful things that he does and talking about the book Dog Inc. Thank you to our sponsors and producers for making this show possible. To find out more about me, Tim Link, and my other podcasts on Pet Life Radio, go to the Animal Rights blog and posting on Pet Life Radio. And make sure you read the blogs and make sure that you check out all the shows that we've had on board. Go to PetLifeRadio.com. While you're there, be sure to check out all the other hosts and shows on Pet Life Radio, too. So if you have any questions, comments, show ideas, people you would like to see on board, drop me a line at tim@petliferadio.com. That's tim@petliferadio.com. And I'll do my very best to answer your questions, entertain your comments, and see if we can get the authors, writers, and bloggers on the show that you would like to listen to and hear from. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life and share it on a blog, article, or in a book. And who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.